from the hosts that brought you Decoding Westworld
and Westworld the Recappables
comes the Ringer Prestige TV podcast on Westworld.
I'm Joanna Robinson.
I'm Danny Heifetz.
And I'm David Shoemaker.
Welcome to Westworld Season 4 in the Prestige TV podcast feed, where we're going to break down every episode of Westworld Season 4.
Every Monday, the day after the show comes out on the Prestige TV podcast feed.
Wherever you get your podcasts, but get them on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Pure Leaf Iced Tea. Go beyond reality with new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea and discover a berry delicious world bursting with unexpected blackberry flavor. A world so full of refreshing blackberry iced tea that you may never want to leave. But there's always time to linger. Try new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea. Visit Amazon.com/Pure Leaf and enter 20 Pure Leaf for 20% off your purchase of new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app. Just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode, the fourth installment of Surviving the Challenge USA. And also back with us, Amelia Wedemeyer, after feeling under the weather last week and being replaced by one of the podcast friends, I would say, Stephen Fishback.
A huge thanks to Stephen. Also, I literally got several different texts from friends saying, Stephen is your replacement. This is a new career high. And I was like, you could not be more correct. This was huge. This was huge. So I was so excited. I love the podcast. Love you and Stephen together. It was great to listen to. Stephen is awesome. So I was starstruck listening to it, honestly.
Good. He's not with us today, which means you've kept your job. And sure. I hope you're feeling better.
Thank you. I am. Yes. And I'm ready to recap.
Let's
this
dive
episode.
Into it.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
Let's get into it.
Oh, cool. Okay, first off, you know, you obviously talked about this with Stephen, but James is gone. It was sad.
James is gone. Yeah,
I really liked him. Who is your new bunkmate at this point? Now that he's gone, or are you switching the bunks?
I moved to the bottom. Yeah,
smart.
So
smart
that
move.
Was. There was a little strategy, not with me particularly, but if there was a case where like. I was on a top bunk. I wanted a bottom bunk, get rid of a bottom bunker, take the bottom. Like the bottom bunks were being snatched up pretty quickly as bottom bunkers were leaving. And there were a few superstitious people in the house that refused to move beds, but overall, most people moved to the bottom bunk when available. And then I got to set all my stuff on the top bunk. So I got a ton of real estate now. Yeah,
That's great.
Of real estate.
That's important. Okay. Well, as sad as it was to see him go, I'm happy you got a bottom bunk, you know. So the algorithm bot, once again, is brought out by TJ. And this time, you are paired with the lovely Kayla from Amazing Race. You seem pretty happy about it. She seemed pretty happy about it. Everyone actually seemed pretty happy about their pairings.
I mean, you can't be sad in front of your paired face.
True.
Like what? Like somebody's like Kayla and I'm like, oh, dang it. Like you get like you gotta whether or not you're really excited, you have to feign excitement for their benefit. And, you know, like some people would call me an asshole. I don't think I am, but I'm definitely not like pretending like I'm bummed or showing how bummed I would be by getting a partner. And I wasn't bummed to get Kayla. Like she was a fighter. Everybody on there, like honestly, like you never know what the challenge is going to be. And some people's strengths are different than other people's strengths. So you just hope that whatever the challenge is suits the strengths of your partnership. And then there's a little bit extra like challenge to winning something with somebody who that may be their weakness.
That is definitely true. And so we see everyone pair up. And like you said, you know, they're happy. We do. It is interesting. We get a little like editing magic maybe of Angela being paired up with Dom. And she's like stone faced. But, you know, and then we cut to after the algorithm bot, we cut to David from Big Brother. He is absolutely sweating with a barbell on a treadmill. Love that.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Pretty cool workout he made up. Yeah.
He really did. Did he do that the entire time he was there? Was he like, got to get this huge barbell on this treadmill?
Yeah. He actually had a towel slung over his back with a barbell, a dumbbell looped around it. So he was carrying it like a sack.
Whoa.
And then he dropped it on the treadmill. And I don't know how the treadmill didn't break, but it was, and he was always sweating like crazy in there and trying to like, it was kind of like a flex for him to like get on that treadmill and like also hold a really heavy dumbbell. And yeah, I liked it. I liked seeing that in the house. Yeah, it was great.
Me too. I mean, I'm a fellow sweaty person, so I was like, all right, represent. And also, I'll be honest with you, I was like, who is David? I just hadn't seen him. I feel like this was the first episode we saw of him.
Yeah, this is his breakout episode, right?
It was his breakout episode. So happy for him. And then once we, again, we see people and they're talking about sticking together. However, we see Alyssa and Derek. And they're like, we want revenge on our fellow Big Brother people, which, you know, sure, I guess.
Yeah, that's how I felt. I was like, it seems too early, but if you want to, I'm here for it.
And were they openly talking about this to like anyone who would listen, or was this really?
It was pretty hush hush. I could see a look on Kai's face at some point in the day where he seemed a little frazzled. And he was like, we're going to maybe make a big move. And I was like, whoa, do you want to tell me? And him and I apologized to Kyland for putting Tiffany in and not telling him because he had asked who I was putting in. And I kind of skirted the question, kind of like, don't worry about it. And then I was like, that's not very good gameplay. So I apologized to him after and was like, I should have told you if I trust you enough, which I do, I should have told you. I just kind of, you know, thought that for you, it would be better not to know until after. And then I saw him frazzled that day, like contemplating what he was going to do. I was like, bro, you okay? And he's like, yeah, we're about to do something big. I think we're going to do something big. I was like, okay, well, if you want to tell me, you can, but you don't have to. And he was like, I will tell you, but maybe I'll tell you later. I was like, okay. He's like, no, let's, he's like, it's X. And I was like, whoa, Xavier? He's like, yeah. I was like, okay. And he's like, what do you think? I was like, I mean, it's your choice. You're in charge. And whatever you do, like we're working together and that's not going to change anything that you and I are working together. And personally, for me, I wanted him to do it. I was like, Xavier's gone. He's a strong guy from Big Brother. He's one of the guys that's like a leader there. And you want to squash that out if you can. And then Shan was like the squirreliest survivor player in the bunch. So you're also not losing anything there with the numbers. So for me, it was like win on both sides.
Two birds, one stone. This is
correct.
Nice.
And I don't even have to get my hands dirty at all.
That's awesome. So we see them talking. It's set in motion. That seems to be kind of the through line of this episode is that the Big Brother people want revenge. And then we get to trivia, which I love the trivia challenge episodes. I think they're really fun. It seems like TJ loves them always. He's laughing maniacally. He's, you know, he gets a certain glee from pressing the release button and it's very Ellen, if you will. TJ's like, okay, it's trivia. It's called Falling Off the Knowledge. Nice. And you guys are placed as partners on a ledge that's 150 feet above the ground. And there's a series of questions. And if you get an answer wrong, you plummet 150 feet. And then there are three rounds plus a winner's round and a loser's round. So did you know that trivia? I mean, you know, you obviously prepared. So did you know that trivia was going to happen? How did you prepare for trivia?
You can't prepare for trivia. I mean, I think you can probably if there's like trivia books or categories or something that you could study. But in general, like they pull trivia from wherever. Like there's pop culture trivia. There's so many like different lines of trivia that you just have to be like knowledgeable in a lot of things. And so I was like, if it's like modern pop culture, I'm going to struggle here. And, you know, but classic rock, I'll probably do pretty good. And so it was just like one of those like hit or miss it things. And the first one that we had was Catwoman, actresses who have played Catwoman. And we actually didn't go first there.
Interesting.
Kyland and Alyssa went first and they said Anne Hathaway. And then I believe that's the order that it went. And then we did go first. I think we did go first. Said Halle Berry, and that's all we knew. I knew Halle Berry. Kayla knew maybe Anne Hathaway, but I think she was unsure, kind of. But Kylan said Anne Hathaway. And then you have Michelle Pfeiffer, who, because after the challenge, everybody went back to the group, was like, who else would do, what did we miss there? And so Michelle Pfeiffer was one and Zoe Kravitz. And I think there might have been like an old actress from like 50s or 60s that played a Catwoman.
Eartha Kitt, maybe? I don't know. I think so. I don't know. But yeah.
There was that one. And then we got all the way through the states that started with an N.
Right.
Like we would have gotten all the way through. Like I wouldn't have had to answer another one of those because if Leo would have gotten his right, the next one would have been done. And that's because I know the state song from third grade.
I know that song too. Yes. Smart.
Alabama,
good.
Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Connecticut. Yeah. Pretty
Delaware,
good, right?
Yeah. Good one. Mm-hmm.
So I knew that song. So I was getting us through those states. And then presidents. I'm so ashamed. I'm so ashamed as a person that I do not know the first 10 presidents of the United States.
It's hard. And you gave it a good go. You know, you guys.
And on my way dropping, I was like, John Quincy Adams. I knew one
That's
more.
That's the one I shouted out. That's the one I shouted out when I was watching. Yeah.
But did you know any more after that?
No.
So John Quincy Adams, I just knew because I knew John Adams' son, John Quincy Adams. But in the moment, so they said you have 5 seconds to answer. And so I was in a panic. But then if you like don't answer for 5 seconds, then TJ gives you the countdown after that. So you still have
10 seconds
to answer.
Got it.
I was like thinking and like on the way down dropping, I turned to Caleb. I was like, John Quincy Adams. But I would it have been enough? I think Kylan knew a couple more than me in there. And then we went back to the group and come to find out only two people in the entire house knew any of the presidents at all. Dom and Azza both could name. Azza could definitely name all 10.
Oh, wow. Good for her.
Yeah. And Dom could name most, if not all of the 10.
Okay.
So there's Martin Van Buren in there. There's James K. Polk, James Madison, James Monroe.
So now you know them. Yeah.
Tyler. Yeah. What is, John Tyler?
Yeah. Taft. Is Taft one of them?
I don't think so. Maybe.
Oh my God. They're just like, there's so many, you know,
there's so many presidents, dude. And we weren't alive back then.
And we weren't alive. So it's really hard. Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they do the rounds. You guys so close. I thought Garfield was a good guess, though. I did.
Top 20. He's still top 20 president. Some people on social media were like, Garfield, the cat. That was funny that you said that. And I was like, yeah, but Garfield is actually the name of also a president.
Oh, God. That's not good. That doesn't bode well for America. but also what I found interesting is we see I don't remember the question exactly, but it was name a country that speaks Spanish. And Danny answers Brazil.
Very bad.
But then his partner, Kira, was like, nope. So they didn't consult together before.
I think they did, but I think she couldn't come up with any more. So they were just taking a swing, kind of knowing it was probably wrong, which is what I did with Garfield. It was like, I don't think he's top 10, but like, I got nothing else right now.
Right, right.
And so I think that's where they were at as well. But literally that Spanish one could have gone forever.
Forever. Yeah. That's crazy. And what was it like to fall that 150 feet?
You know, like I'm not a heights guy. And that was, I think they ask you your fears when you go on the show, you fill out this questionnaire. And so I put heights and, And I think everybody puts heights. Like, I think most people put heights, but my heights fear is only a fear if I don't have something to hold on to or if I'm not tethered. And so, like, having me stand on the edge of that thing untethered would have really freaked me out.
Yeah.
But standing up there in a harness and stuff, plus, like, with the cameras there and knowing it's going to be on TV, it gives you this false sense of security. Like, I would never sign up to do that on my own, but, like, cameras are rolling. There's guys there that are probably professionals. I haven't checked their credentials. And so I'm just like, yeah, this is probably good. And worst case scenario, like, if I fall to my death, I'm assuming that my family will be taken care of.
I would hope so. Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, good. So you got that. You've got that plan in your mind. And yes. Okay, I'm glad.
And there's some weird calmness. It's the same with Survivor. Like, there's poisonous snakes out there that could kill you with one bite and stuff. But, like, you're lulled into this security because it's on TV and there's a bunch of people out there with you.
Yeah, that's a good point. Some
reason, like, it gives you this courage to be like, don't look like a scaredy cat on national TV. So I played it pretty cool. And it really wasn't too bad. The drop wasn't. It's just the initial drop. And what's interesting is that between the time that you get the answer wrong and that TJ pushes the button is actually like a minute long. Like, you know, really? You're wrong for a really long time as they're like, have to make some last minute, like, little thingy deals. Yeah. And then they drop you. So, you know, but you don't, like, they still kind of keep you guessing as to when you're going to exactly drop. And that almost makes it worse though, that you know you're dropping.
Right. You're like, can we get this over with?
Yeah. He's like, okay, let's see. We don't know. Maybe. And you're like, I know that's wrong because that's how you played every single one of these people that's been wrong. God. And then you see a guy's running behind the rigs, like, kind of checking things. And then you're like, okay, here it comes any minute. And the initial drop is really like stomach to your throat. But then it's just like a smooth fall from there.
Okay.
So it's just the initial like, and then after that, it's just like smooth, no problem.
But then the end was the end also like, because it's like,
no, the end kind of like brought you to a slowdown. It was kind of interesting. Yeah. So you came down, like, it was like, it's like letting the gas off of a Tesla.
Oh,
if you've
okay.
ever been in a Tesla.
I haven't, unfortunately.
Oh, man, you've been missing out. Okay, what about have you ever driven a jet ski or a boat?
Yes, a boat, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when you let go of the throttle, the boat just kind of glides to a stop?
Yes.
And there's no brakes on it or anything. It just glides to a stop. That's how this was.
Okay, that's nice. Okay, I see. I was thinking it was more of like an abrupt stop. Yeah, where you're like, yeah.
No.
Okay, that's good.
It wasn't. Good. Yeah, so... So that was okay. Still though, really deep, deep shame that I didn't know more than the first three presents of.
Well, at least you know what? You didn't give any excuses. You know, I mean, okay, I really don't mean to shit on him. I really don't. But we have Ben out here being like, I live humbly, so I don't know trivia. I was like, oh, okay. All right. Okay. Mr. Humble. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
He's one of the most humble people in the world. Yeah, maybe you didn't know.
I'm sorry. I didn't. But now I know. So we get that. We also get the losers round, which consists of Danny and Kira, Derek and Sarah. Sarah is pissed off. She's like, how did Derek not know these cat women? He had one job, and Justine and David. And I thought Danny, he totally saved himself he pulled Pittsburgh Penguins out of his ass. It was incredible.
It really was. Like, if you're going to get Danny anything for Christmas, it should be a Pittsburgh Penguins jerseys.
Should be, definitely. Like,
that should be his number one team from now on.
I mean,
not the Cowboys. Forget the Cowboys. You are a Penguins man, Danny.
Any NFL team he played with, just the Penguins. Yeah, because he literally goes, Pittsburgh? And TJ's like, okay, what? And then he's like, okay, the Pirates are the baseball Pittsburgh Penguins? Like, he doesn't even say it?
I think he said Penguin first.
Did he say Penguin first?
Okay. Yeah, and TJ's like, what was that? He's like, Penguins. And he's like, you're right. And he was very shocked.
I love it. It was a complete miracle. Happy for him. So he saves it. And then, unfortunately, we got David, sweaty David, and Justine, your last partner, and they get their answer wrong, and they are sent to elimination, sadly. Were you like, damn, Justine.
I was like, dang, Justine, like, we have this plan to keep everybody who's been winning money out of elimination.
Right.
But if you take dead last, there's nothing anybody can do to protect you.
Right. Damn.
And so we were like, Justine, stop losing. Stop taking dead last. There's like 25 people here still. How can you, like, it's so easy to avoid taking dead last.
There are still a lot of people here. Yeah.
Dude, so many.
Oh my
gosh.
So
many people.
Yeah. Cause you had what, three rounds of like at least six or eight people? That's a lot. So, and then we get the winner's round and it consists of Kylan and Alyssa, Dominic and Angela, and Ben and Azza. And Kylan and Alyssa, they pull it out. They split the 10K. They're both of Big Brother, obviously. And now Kylan has two challenge wins. He's tied with you.
Oh no.
Oh my God.
Come on,
at this point, yeah. Are you threatened by Kylan? Are you like, okay, all right, Kylan?
No, because we were working together. So honestly, when the final was between those two groups, I would have preferred Angela and Dom to win because Angela is like my ride or die. Like that's who I trust the most. But Kylan was right behind Angela in my trust at that time. And so I was like, Kylan's good too. And so and that was just like me putting in like social energy and social, you know, like the gymnastics, the social gymnastics that go with this game is like winning over Kylan, making him feel good with me and putting a little trust in him. And so, yeah, so I was feeling okay. The only thing was that my ego was just like, now he has two wins too. And he has more money than me in his account because he also went into elimination very first. So now he has $1,000 more than me in his account. And that, yeah, I don't like that at all.
Sure. That one cut you deep. That extra thousand. Sure. And we also see, I think, was it Dom? And he's like, all right, well, Tyson and Angela think they're, you know, king shit here. Well, I mean, he doesn't say that, but like.
Yeah, untouchable.
Know. Untouchable, right. And he's like, Kylan's hot on their tails.
This episode is brought to you by Pure Leaf Iced Tea. Go beyond reality with new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea and discover a berry delicious world bursting with unexpected blackberry flavor. A world so full of refreshing blackberry iced tea that you may never want to leave. But there's always time to linger. Try new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea. Visit amazon.com/pureleaf and enter 20 Pure Leaf for 20% off your purchase of new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on cars.com. This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
And then it's the after challenge kind of thing. Again, I thought it was funny. They have not shown another party at all, even though we know they're there. But they're
making us go to these every single time after the challenge. You're really going to sit here this whole season, make me go to the stupid bar and pretend like I'm having fun and then not even use any of the footage?
That is wild. That's actually kind of crazy.
Huge disrespect. Come on.
And does, I mean, you
nobody
think,
wants to go to the bar in the first place.
Well, see, that's the thing. And then not only that, but you would think there'd be some good conversation they could just put in there, but they decide
skip it. It's like, it's the same sometimes conversations didn't even happen at the bar. So Survivor gameplay, the modern Survivor gameplay is that you cannot come up with a plan until like 10, 20, 30 minutes before tribal council. So you can't have a plan earlier in the day or else it's going to get blown up. And so I think that a lot of survivors were definitely playing that way here, where it's like the bar is the night before the elimination. You can't give out info at the bar the night before elimination. You can't even talk or name names or do anything strategic until a half hour or an hour before elimination.
That's just wild to me. That makes me so nervous. That is really anxiety inducing. And I don't like it, but listen, I'm not on these shows, so I guess I don't have to deal with it. But then we get Xavier, and he is like, I came in here to the Challenge USA expecting people to get their revenge because I backstabbed pretty much every single one of them. And he talks to Alyssa and Kylan, and he's like, if you want to throw me in, I get it, but I will come back and I will kick your ass. So then Justine and David, the losers, they come and they meet with Alyssa and Kylan. Justine says, whatever, just don't throw me in against Cinco, please. Which I thought was funny. But I mean, me too. I would be afraid too. He's a big guy.
He's a big guy. I mean.
But also like Shannon isn't very intimidating to me.
Yeah. But like they don't want to go. They don't want to Love Island contestants out. Justine doesn't, for sure. So like anything she can do to avoid like that is good for her.
Right. I think, yes, we do see Justine. Like, I feel like Justine might be the only Love Island person who's actually kind of getting the gameplay here, because we see her talk about that. And then we also see...
She's a big Survivor fan. So she's been watching Survivor for years and years and years. Yeah.
Justine was built different. Yeah, I love that.
So I knew that going in because she followed me on Twitter like so long ago.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. And actually I think she preferred this is what she wanted to do with something like this, with strategy and gameplay and challenges. And that so for her, she's like super pumped to be there.
I love that. Well, it's working out for her because she knows what's up. I think it really shows. And then we get, you know, again, Alyssa and Kylan, and they immediately throw out Xavier's name. They're like, yeah, how about him? And, you know, they're obviously taking the bait. They're like, yeah, please. Okay, sure. Please. Again, we don't want Cinco. And then we get Alyssa and Kylan meeting with you. And they mention X's name to you, too. And you talk to the camera saying Big Brother BB is eating itself from the inside, which that is what seems like. It's kind of wild. It's kind of wild because we are only on the fourth episode.
Yeah, that's what's so wild. I was like, this was bound to happen at some point, but this is very early for it to happen. And if it happens this early, it's going to take some of the attention away from me and put it on Kylan and Alyssa. And so for me, it was good because it was like, it takes me kind of out of the driver's seat a little bit. And they've made a wild and aggressive move. And that's good. So I was feeling okay with it. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. And on top of that, it's like, I'm not in power at that point. So the most and the best thing I can do as an ally to the people who are in power is support their decision.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Like strategically, like honestly, that's the best. Like you can try and sway them a little bit and you can tell, but like at the end of the day, like if you push them too hard, that's going to raise some red flags. And so the best thing you can do is be like, I'm with you no matter what you decide to do, do it. You don't even have to like, tell me whatever, I'm with you. Like that's like how you get someone to trust you.
That's amazing. I mean, yeah. And it just works out to yours and all of Survivor's kind of advantage there. And I find it really interesting too, because like the fact that Big Brother is so willing and so quick to turn on each other, while whereas, you know, compared to Survivor, you guys are pretty strong in terms of sticking together. And I'm like, I don't understand what's going on. I mean, like, I get what's happening, but I also on this level of like, just, you know, gameplay, wouldn't you want to stick with what you would see as your, you know, immediate allies? Does being stripped of everything on an island just bond you better with people? I don't know what's going on here.
No, I mean, you recognize that there is strength in numbers there, but also you can see that Survivor is starting to crack a little bit, and it started to crack last week a little bit. And it's because you know that at some point it's not going to last. And you don't want to be the one caught out when it doesn't last. Like, you want to be the aggressor before. So everybody's waiting. You want to wait as long as you can, but at the same time, you don't want to be the one that's surprised by what's happening. So you want to be the one to make the first move. You just don't want to make it too early. And Big Brother, that's the same thing with Big Brother. What they're doing here is like, Alyssa and Kylan didn't trust X. They just didn't from the last season. And Xavier, like, there's a moment where he says, like, you know, if Kylan would have won and done this and that, like, I would have understood that that was gameplay and that's water under the bridge. Sure, that's what someone who wins $750,000 thinks to themselves. But it stings not winning $750,000, especially when you get so close. And so I think that, like, he's not fully putting himself in their shoes or in their perspective of what's happening. And so, so there's that. Like, at the end of the day, it comes down to really who you can trust. Like, it's not like Survivor or Big Brother, because that's not always who you trust and who you bond with the most. And so it's like, that's what it really boils down to. Like, who do you bond with the most? Who do you have the best connection with? Who can you read? Like, if they're telling you lies, and who's probably not going to tell you lies. Like, those are the things that you look for when you're looking for an ally.
That stresses me out. But I love watching it.
But out there, it's like, who do you feel most comfortable with? That's who you're going to work with. It's not like, oh, we are from the same place, we have to work together. That's not a strong enough bond. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you can trust them.
Right. That's a good point. That's a really good point. So we get that. We also get Cachet and Shan, and they're talking, and Cachet says Love Island wants to say Survivor strong over Big Brother. And Shan is like agreeing. She's like, yeah, you can't trust Big Brother. Was there that feeling in the house that Love Island wanted to work with Survivor more than they wanted to work with like Big Brother, I guess?
I'm sure they were probably pandering to both sides a little bit, but they did, like, people recognized really early that it was the two mastermind games are Big Brother and Survivor. Like, that is the game, the heavily strategic games that are similar in a similar vein to the challenge. And so, like, people recognized that initially and immediately and chose sides. And I think Survivor had more veterans of the game that had played multiple times. They had generally older people, which probably more chill in general. And so I think that that was kind of attractive to those other sides. Plus, like, Survivor is like the granddaddy of reality TV. Like, there's a certain respect that other reality TV programs have for people who have been on Survivor, who have been on multiple times and who have won the game. And so I think that, like, Amazing Race was like, if anybody's going to control this thing, it's going to be Survivor. And that's probably also how Love Island felt. But I wouldn't be surprised if both of those groups were going back and forth a little bit.
Sure. That's so interesting. Yeah. I mean, I guess if I were someone who was on Love Island or Amazing Race, I'd be like, whoa. I mean, I don't watch Big Brother, but I watch Survivor, obviously. So I'd be like, Survivor, 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 please be my friend. So I get it. Yeah. After this talk with Shan, we get the elimination. It's called Smash In, Puzzle Out. And wouldn't you know, Shan and X are put in against David and Justine. And Shan has this look of utter and complete shock on her face.
Oh my gosh. It was such a tense moment. Oh, like, it was so tense. And I didn't see it in person, but Kylan told me later that Xavier thought that they said the wrong names.
What?
And looked and was like, that's not right. What you mean is Cinco and Shannon. He thought that they had confused Shan with Shannon.
Oh my God.
But I don't know if I didn't see it firsthand. That was just what, which would have made it an even more awkward situation.
Oh my
and,
God. Yeah.
Yeah. And then little info is that whoever has lost the elimination, their interviews they're giving before the elimination about the elimination are done after the elimination has already happened.
Okay.
So you get a little bit more scathing interviews, more biting, more aggression.
Yeah.
Knowing that you've already been eliminated.
Okay. And you can kind of tell. Yeah, sure. Because we definitely get Shan. You know, I love Shan, and she's just like, you know, Alyssa's dumb.
Yeah, they're ripping them. Yeah.
They really, which on, I kind of enjoyed.
I didn't know why they did that until I'm watching it now. And I'm like, oh, this is when they get the real trash talk, is after someone gets eliminated and then has to go back to the interview room and talk about what happened that day.
That's not fun.
Because they can't talk about it before.
Right.
Because they don't know that they've been put up for elimination yet.
Right. God, I don't blame them for being upset. So, and honestly, as a viewer, I enjoyed the little barbs here and there. So
yeah, it was a lot of barbs. And as I was watching it, I was like, oh, this makes sense now. The order of things.
Right, exactly. That's really funny. Yeah. So we get Shan, she's completely shocked. X is also like, you were saying, you can tell he's pretty upset too, because he says, like, are you playing to win or are you playing to get even?
Yeah.
Which again is, it's just like funny to me, because like we got him earlier in the episode being like, yeah, if you guys want to vote me in, I get it. Whatever. Like I'll win. Like whatever I have to say to not go in, but I'm still going to be like, I'm not bitter about this. And then once, you know, he realizes he's in, and obviously that he's lost, you know, he's upset about it, which I mean, I would be too. I guess who would you have put in had you been in that situation to put someone in?
I mean, it's me and Kayla. She's not putting anybody from Amazing Race in, which is just Leo now.
Yeah, right. Just one other person. Okay.
So Leo's not going in. And then I, at this time, can't put anybody from Survivor in. So I'm looking at, and I have a good relationship with Cinco and with Shannon, honestly. So I'm looking at them, probably trying to avoid putting them in just because I like them. And to me, they're non-threatening. And so I don't know. Like, I would what I do is I sit around, I feel things out. I feel what the majority of the house wants to do or wants to happen, knowing within my bounds of my situation. So nobody's going to come to me and be like, hey, throw a bunch of survivors in, but they, you know, they'll come to me and say, hey, Tiffany, we want Tiffany. So I wouldn't have been surprised if like there was a contingent of Big Brother that came and was like, would you take out Shan if, you know, type of like feeling it out a little bit. And if enough people came to me, maybe I would swing that way. Because when you put somebody in, you want to piss off as few people as possible. And hopefully the people you put in, you want them to go home, because you don't want them to come back and have there be a huge firestorm. You know, like that's what was for Kylan and Alyssa. They were very nervous about Xavier and Shan coming back in. And they were also kind of devastated. Like, they love Xavier, but they wanted to do this. And so that's also where you're torn in these games, especially. And so like, I can't even imagine, like on the original challenge, I don't know if you knew about this, but there's a different challenge on a different network on MTV.
Oh, yeah.
And those people play over and over and over again. And the bonds they've had to create. And probably at this point, nobody trusts anybody in the game because they played with each other so many times that they're like, I trust you, but I can't, and this, but it's like Survivor 2. It's like, if it benefits me, that's great. But if it also has to benefit my alliance, or else they're going to cease being my alliance. So the second that you recognize that it's benefiting you and not them, that's the second where they're probably jumping ship.
Damn. Yeah. Well, and see, and that just leaves you. There's, thankfully, I guess there is enough. There are enough people and pairs still that hopefully, you know, the algorithm bot will make it so that you have an out there. But still, I mean, again, but then I guess there's a lot of people, and especially if you're paired up with someone else from another, like if it were, you know, you were paired up with Kayla, but had you been paired up with someone from Big Brother, then it would have been like, oh my God, kind of. Or Love Island, even at this point, I guess. So it's complicated.
It really is. Like, the safest thing you can be paired for me right now is to be paired up with someone from Big Brother. As long as, you know, like, you have to take into consideration, like, how many numbers there are plus the likelihood of somebody winning a challenge. So if I'm Survivor and I'm paired up with somebody from Big Brother, then the likelihood of a Big Brother or a Survivor contestant winning are the highest likelihood.
Sure.
So that's what you're right now is what, like, you're really hoping for, something like that.
Yeah, man. Ugh, God, I'm nervous and sweating even just like thinking about these different combinations in my mind. So so the challenge, this elimination challenge, I just love that arena. It's scary. I love it. We get,
it's dark. It's ominous.
It really is. It looks like it could rain any second. There are these giant steel tunnels that are sectioned off from panes of glass. And there's like two panes on each like section. You have to crawl through the tunnel. You have to grab pieces of a block puzzle. I think there were about like 10 pieces in total.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, you have to take them out piece by piece, of course. And then once all the pieces are out, you can solve the puzzle. However, the panes of glass have a color coordinated to each player. So if you break your partner's glass, you get a 5-second penalty that will accumulate at the end right before you can start the puzzle.
Right.
So were you looking at this thinking, thank God I don't have to do this? Or were you like, okay, I know what I would do?
I would have done what X did, honestly. I would have tried smashing every other pane, but I think maybe after a couple tries of that, I don't know. Like, being down there now watching it, it's like that it was a big time difference. It was 30 seconds that they had to wait before starting on their puzzle after David and Justine. But I think in the moment I probably would have done what X did, just smash through them. But now if you put me in there, I'd do what David and Justine did. Like, they moved through it cleanly. They had a time advantage when they got to the puzzle, which is the goal. And David was really, really hungry for this thing. Like, he came out of it and he had scraped his shins against all the metal frames of that tunnel over and over and over again. And he just had gashed, bleeding, scarred shins. And I wouldn't be surprised if he has permanent scars on his shins from that challenge. Yes.
Wow. Okay. So David was really here to prove something.
He really was. And like, kudos to him. Like, it was a thing that everybody thought X was the favorite because X is good at puzzles, and and it was impressive. Like, and the fact that like David was just willing to sacrifice his body to do that. X's hands were bleeding from smashing through the glass too.
What?
And there were just like piles of broken glass in the arena. So
did like anyone over at production think, oh, we're probably gonna cut people? Like, that seems very dangerous.
They had protective equipment on and stuff. And I think that there was even warnings like, hey, kind of like be particular when you break through this stuff because it's glass. And I think like we see a moment where X puts his elbow through instead of his fist, and his fist had the protective gloves. Elbows, I don't think, had that. So I don't know fully. And it was totally, everybody was okay from it, but like I have scars all over my knees from playing Survivor. I have like scars I remember from different things. And so it's like not uncommon. And for David, this is just like, you know, a mark of an accomplishment.
Mark of valor. Yeah.
Mark of valor. Exactly.
He was on that treadmill with that dumbbell. Yeah. Being like, I'm going to prepare for this.
Yeah. Not for nothing. Nothing.
Well, I'm happy for him because it did seem like, I think we get some confessionals about people being like, okay, David better step it up. This is his time to shine. And he did. So I'm happy for him. Would you say, like, watching it, was it hard to watch? Was it hard to kind of tell who was ahead in the little tunnels?
You could tell that X and Shan were ahead, but you could also tell that they were taking the full penalty, and you could see that David and Justine weren't. And so David and Justine were very, very close, considering we knew that they had almost no penalty. And so, so they were moving through it really quick. And still, there were multiple times during the puzzle where you were like, oh, I think Xavier and Shan won, like as they get close to one or two pieces.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't inspect the puzzle closely. The pattern on it looked very straightforward and very easy to solve.
Extremely. It was like a outline of an eagle and maybe some like slash
stars
marks
in the corners.
Yeah, exactly.
Some stars in the corners. So I don't know if the outside was like tricky to like get that in the proper order or something, if there weren't any marks of the eagles on those outside pieces or something, but it was, I would say that X and Shan probably started over on the puzzle three times, maybe four, and David and Justine started it over two or three times as well.
Got it. Okay. Wow. Huh. So did it like, because I mean, obviously they're cutting this down for time and everything. So to me, it seemed like, wow, they're neck and neck and you know, they've got this puzzle. And the puzzle, again, like you're saying, it's pretty straightforward, and it wasn't like they were blocks, but it wasn't like you had to put together like a 3D like box. It was kind of a flat on the ground, like kind of easy. But did the puzzle end up taking longer than people thought it was going to take, I guess?
It took a long time. But when you go to the arena and you're not in the arena, you're not battling, you want it to go for a long time, because that's the only entertainment you have, is to sit there and watch like the gladiators in the arena as you sit and like give them the thumbs up or thumbs down. Yeah. Or like leave them be. And so it's like, you don't want a short challenge. If you're watching the challenge, you want something long and drawn out where you can sit there and watch people really earn their way back into the house.
Got it.
That's what I want.
No, I mean, that's what I would want too. Cause it's like, I, you know, just carted my ass over here. I want a show. Give me a show.
Yes, exactly.
So sadly, you know, X and Shan are eliminated. I guess, were you shocked with the outcome? Because, you know, it's they're formidable opponents, obviously. And, you know, X was kind of the leader of Big Brother.
I mean, yeah, just because everybody said that Xavier was the clear favorite in puzzles because he was good at puzzles on Big Brother. I didn't witness that firsthand, so I just had to take that for what they said, and I believe them. But so I assumed he was the clear favorite, but also like puzzles can be a crapshoot sometimes. Like you get the right piece in the right position to start and it can come together really quickly. And so, you know, like I also know there's that element of chance to that. And so I wasn't shocked, but I was like, oh, okay, there we go. David, I was more shocked that David was like pulled through, because he had failed spectacularly in the past.
Sure. I mean, again, I was like watching this episode being like, who is David?
Yeah, here and he is. He's on the scene.
Yes, we learned who he was tonight. He made his name. Were you sad to see Shan go? Because I know she was kind of, if there was one Survivor person who was maybe waffling a little bit, it would be her. But
no, I'd rather somebody else take her out than me or somebody else from Survivor have to take her out and like start the war. So I was like, that's fine, you know. And I don't think she trusted me. And like, I got along fine with her, but I think I could feel that she didn't trust me. which is fine. Like some people shouldn't trust me.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that's a good point.
If I can feel that you don't trust me, then you definitely shouldn't trust me.
Right. Right. Exactly. And thankfully she's out and there's no blood on your hands.
Correct. So that's kind of how I felt. Yeah. And I was mostly surprised at, and we'll probably see it next week, but Danny's reaction to Shan's exit was he was not happy.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Which
they clashed on Survivor. So I was just like, I knew what was happening. I knew that Danny didn't know, and I didn't know how he was going to react. I thought he'd be fine with it, but he was pretty perturbed with the fact that Shan went into the elimination.
Is fascinating because not only did they kind of clash on Survivor, but he even said, I think in the first episode, he's talking to his wife, Kiki. And he was like, Kiki said,
Don't trust Shan. Beware of Shan. Yeah.
She's sneaky.
She was pretty easy to read. I mean, yeah, I think she wasn't as sneaky as she, maybe because everyone saw her the first time on Survivor, but out there it was like, it was pretty easy to tell that she, when and who she was scheming with and how much. Like, it was just, like the whole house pretty much, as soon as Shan would start making the rounds, everybody's like, there goes Shan.
There goes her little song in her head. Yep. Yeah. Well, and I do like the ending quote we got from Xavier where he goes, I'm still rich, y'all are broke, and y'all are stupid, which, okay, yeah, I mean, sure, true. I guess it is true. So
now Tyson and the Survivor juggernauts are going to take you out one by one and go to the final together. As long as I'm the leader of the juggernauts.
Right, exactly. Then it's okay. Sure.
Then it's okay.
Exactly. So that happens. You know, we get a little preview of next week's episode, which seems there's more scheming to be done. There seems
this never ends.
I mean, this coming episode seems like you might get into it with someone, and I'm excited.
Are you?
Yeah. I love drama.
And I hate drama. I hate being in drama.
Well, but I love watching it. So sorry.
Yeah,
but
I don't mind watching it. Mm-hmm. And I love watching it first person, honestly. But I hate being in the mix of it. In these shows, that's part of what you're signing up for. And it's probably the thing I like least is signing up knowing there's going to be tension and that at some point I'm going to get some dirt on my nose from some drama.
Right.
And it's just like, you can't help it. If you are playing to win, you have to get your nose in it a little bit, and it sucks.
Yeah. Especially if you're over here kind of like the leader of Survivor. I mean, yeah, they're going to try to knock out the king. You know what I mean? It's scary, but also I'm excited. I was just talking to my parents and I was like, this episode went by so fast. These episodes go by so fast. It's just like a great compact show.
Yeah, they do go by fast. We were watching it and I turned to Rachel. I was like, stop with the recap. That takes like 4 minutes out of our show to watch what happened last week. And we already remember still. So, but I think it always leads up. And as the season continues, I have to imagine the algorithm reading by TJ just gets shorter and shorter, right? Because there's less people.
That's a good point. Yes.
So we
I
have
think
that
you're
to
right.
look forward to.
Yeah. Well, even I noticed this episode, they the whole intro with the algorithm, and then we get some people talking, but then they went straight to the trivia challenge. Like, it was pretty quick. I was like, oh, wow, we're already here. Okay. And they're not going to show the partying. So yeah.
We also, I'm trying to remember exactly how things happened here. We had to wait a day because of weather to do the trivia challenge because it was raining and windy. And so we took a day off and went the next day. And we might have gone to elimination that night after.
Oh, after the trivia?
Maybe. I do not remember if everything got pushed a day or if just that got pushed a day. I cannot remember now. I'll have to ask some of the other contestants, but I know for sure that the trivia challenge got pushed in a day. And then I think, if I'm remembering correctly, elimination was that night. So that was a quick turnaround.
Damn, I would have been pissed off.
Yeah, it did make it a little difficult because I think Kai and Alyssa had to rush around a little bit more. I'll have to ask. So take that with a grain of salt. Definitely the challenge got pushed today. I do not remember if they kept the elimination on that night or if they also pushed the elimination to the next day as well.
Interesting. Well, I mean, for the sake of everyone going into this elimination challenge, I would hope they've waited a day, but maybe not. It's a tight schedule. So
yeah. And also, trivia is not that physically exerting.
That's true. Okay, that's true. That's true. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's true. That's a good point. That's good. Yeah. That's a great point, actually. But if you had the party, wouldn't they, or was it like a party? It was like trivia party, then
no, we didn't. We if it was on the same day, we did not go to the bar that night.
Got it.
Might have been one of the only times we didn't go to the bar ever in the history of the show. Okay. Yeah. And I was so relieved.
Oh my God. Well, great episode once again. Anything else you want to add from?
No, I think that's it. I mean, it was Danny said Kiki, so that was good. I noticed there's some social media accounts putting out bingo cards for each episode, and Danny saying Kiki was the free space in the middle. Cause I think he said her name in the preview. So they already knew that he was going to say Kiki. So,
that's amazing. And let's hope that he says Kiki once again next week.
Yeah. Keep this train rolling. That's honestly like the thing I'm most excited for every episode is like, is Danny going to talk about Kiki?
Is he going to mention Kiki? Oh my God. That's great. Thank you so much to my co-host, Challenge God, Tyson Apostle. Thank you so much to our producer, Carlos Chiriboga. And thank you everyone for listening. We will be back with another episode of Surviving the Challenge next week.
Okay. See you next week.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.